The scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 13, found in your pew Bibles on page 996. And while you're turning to that, we have another special birthday coming this week. On Tuesday, Mildred Sparlow will be 92. So congratulations. God bless you. Listen to God's word. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if one loves God, one is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven and on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, though being hitherto accustomed to idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. Only take care lest this liberty of yours somehow becomes a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you, a man of knowledge, at a table in an idol's temple, might he not be encouraged in his conscience, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge, this weak man is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of my brother's falling, I will never eat meat, lest I cause my brother to fall. This is the reading of God's word.
Today is Super Sunday. And you know what that means? It means that a little later this evening, millions of Americans will tune in to their television sets to watch the Seattle Seahawks beat up on the New England Patriots. At least I think that's what's going to happen. But don't take my word for it. I really don't know a whole lot about football. I'm not a big professional football fan. In fact, I'm not much of a professional sports fan of any kind anymore. I used to be a big boxing fan when I was a kid, and my pastor growing up used to try to dissuade me from watching boxing because in his estimation, it was a terribly violent. But I couldn't see that at the time. It was only later that I came to recognize that maybe boxing was a little bit too violent, watching human beings destroy each other for the sake of money. But I still watch a little bit of football whenever we get close to the Super Bowl. It's almost unpatriotic and unmanly not to watch the Super Bowl, and so I make it a point to become a little bit interested in it just because everyone else is focused in on it and because I'll have something to talk about whenever I'm in public and people start talking about the Super Bowl. It's probably the most watched televised event of the year. It's estimated that over 100 million viewers will probably be tuning in this evening to see the Super Bowl. And, of course, you know, football, professional football, has had its problems this year. Some people have tuned out of football. There was the issue earlier this year of domestic violence. We all saw those terrible videos of Ray Rice punching out his fiance, and then there was the deal with the Washington Redskins and whether or not the owners ought to change the name of the franchise out of respect for Native Americans. Then there's the ongoing controversy about concussions and whether the NFL was going to own up to the fact that concussions occur. And, of course, there was Aria's Deflategate, the allegation of cheating. And so football has had its problems, and all of these are important because they speak about values. Values within the National Football League, and also our American values. But even if none of these things occurred, we might have some issues with football and the values that football reflects. And whenever we think about football, what comes to mind are many values such as teamwork, courage and athleticism, all of which will be on display this evening. But I suspect that what most of us will be looking for this Super Sunday is strength. And when we mean strength, we mean dominance. We'll be looking for which team will dominate the other team. Which team will be able to assert its will over the others? Which quarterback will dominate the other quarterback? Which defense will dominate the other defense? Which offense will dominate? We'll be looking for dominance because that's what we think about when we think about football. We think of masculinity. We think of assertiveness. We think of strength. We think of dominance. Indeed, our culture also reflects those values more and more, dominance and strength. Who can dominate who? Who can assert their wills on who? And I suppose as long as these Super Bowl values stay on the field, they're all right. But as soon as they begin to bleed over into other areas of life, then we become a bit concerned, and we become especially concerned when these values begin to bleed into the church. Super Bowl values, values of dominance, values of winning at any cost. Sometimes those values bleed into the church. That's what the Apostle Paul is worried about in our text this morning that Sarah read. The Corinthian church was a very dynamic church. It was a very energetic church, a very spiritual church. If you were in town in Corinth visiting, one of the places that you might want to check out was the First Presbyterian Church at Corinth. But even though it was a very dynamic place, not nearly as dynamic as we are here at Olney Presbyterian Church, and not nearly as spiritual, but even though it was a wonderful place to go worship, they also had their problems. There were divisions and conflicts in the church. On the one hand, you had Christians who were considered to be strong Christians. Christians that we might call Super Bowl Christians, Super Sunday Christians. They were people who had superior knowledge and who believed that their superior knowledge and their mature spirituality entitled them to dominate and assert their will on everyone else. And then on the other hand, you had those who were considered to be weak Christians. That's how the Apostle Paul describes them. They weren't nearly as knowledgeable as the strong Christians. They weren't nearly as spiritually mature, but they were a part of the community. They were a part of the body of Christ. But there was conflict in the church between the strong Christians and the weak Christians. And one of the dividing issues in the community had to do with meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Meat was something that was not very prevalent there in the first century. People really didn't eat a lot of meat, but the only meat that was available was meat that had been offered to idols. And so one of the big issues of the day was whether or not it was permissible for Christians to eat meat that had been offered to idols. That, of course, is not a big issue in our day, but in Paul's day, it was a very big issue, and Christians came down on either side of that issue. You may remember in the book of Acts at the Jerusalem Council, James, the brother of the Lord, tells Paul that as he takes the gospel out to the Gentiles, remember one thing or two things. Remember the poor, and remember not to eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Apparently, Paul did not agree with that, and many Christians did not agree. Indeed, the strong Christians in the church of Corinth didn't agree. They believed that it was permissible to eat meat. They knew that there was nothing wrong with it. They understood that there was no such thing as false gods, and because there were no such thing as false gods, then therefore the meat cannot be tainted. There's only one God, the Father of us all, one Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore to them, in their mind, it was permissible to eat meat even though it had been offered to idols. But the weaker members of the community were people who were still struggling to stay faithful. They were new in the faith. Many of them had just recently been converted from being idol worshipers, and so they were like people who were recovering from alcoholism and couldn't stand to look at a drink, and so they didn't want to have any meat that had been offered to idols. When they came together at the common meal that Christians shared and they saw meat that had been offered to idols, they were scandalized by it. They didn't want to have any part of it. But the strong members didn't care. They used their superior knowledge to score more points for themselves and to puff themselves up in order to do what they wanted to do, and that was to eat meat that had been offered to idols. This was the situation that Paul was asked to weigh in on by the folks at Corinth. And so Paul writes this Christian community, and he especially addresses the strong Christians. He says, I agree with you. I agree with you. Yes, you're right. The idols have no real existence. There's only one God. There's only one Father. There's only one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom everything exists. Yes, you are right. There's nothing wrong with eating meat, even meat that has been offered to idols. Yes, you are right that in the Lord Jesus Christ we have freedom, we've been set free, we can eat meat, even meat that has been offered to idols. Paul says you are right about all of these things. You're right. But he says too that even though you are right, you are also wrong. You are wrong because you have misused your strength. You have misused your superior knowledge and your spiritual maturity. You have used it to dominate others. You've used it to insist upon your own way, to assert your own will. You've used it in ways that does not reflect on what it means to be the body of Christ. The values that you exhibit may be values that are appropriate for the football field. They may be values that are appropriate for the corporate boardroom. They may be values that are appropriate for the battlefield, but they aren't values that are appropriate in the church. Because in the church we are called to live by a totally different set of values. In the church, Super Bowl values, winning at any cost, has no place. Paul wasn't concerned so much about people on the outside of the church looking in and seeing the church squabbling and fighting among themselves. That's a legitimate concern for us today, but it was not Paul's concern. What Paul is concerned about are those whose spiritual well-being is put at risk by those inside of the community, those who insist on having their own way, those who insist on doing their own thing, no matter who it hurts. And so Paul says that even if it means that I refrain from eating meat that has been dedicated to idols, I won't do it because it might cause my brother or sister to stumble. Today, of course, we have our own questions about what is right and what is wrong. We have our own questions about what is appropriate, what is inappropriate, what is permitted, what is not permitted. And make no mistake about it, there are times when the community of faith must say clearly and unapologetically that there are certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong. There are certain ways of living that tear down and ways of living that build up. There are certain things that are affront to our humanity, and there are certain things that edify our humanity. And we must talk about those things and say those things. But even when we have to say those things, Paul reminds us that the most important question for all of us is not who is right and who is wrong, not who is weak and not who is strong, not who will win or who will lose. The most important thing is who is loving, who will be willing to go the extra mile, who will be willing to make sacrifices for the good of the community. That's the difference between the values of the church and the values of Super Sunday. We live in a world that says win at any cost. Win at any cost. I was listening to a story in the news not long ago about a high-profile couple who were getting a divorce. And they both subscribed to the values, Super Bowl values, of winning at any cost. It didn't matter what happened to their children. It didn't matter what they did to one another. It didn't matter what kind of pain they brought one another through. The only important thing was to win, and to win at any cost. Super Bowl values, win at any cost. But here in the church, we are called to love at any cost. That's what Paul means when he says that love builds up. To be the people of God means that we are to be that community who builds each other up. We are not that community that worries about dominating one another. We are not that community that is concerned about tearing each other down. We are not that community that runs roughshod over one another. We're not that community that's concerned about puffing ourselves up at the expense of others. We are called to be that community that builds each other up with love, because that's what love does. It builds up. Paul reminds us in our reading this morning that we are not to seek our own way, that we are not to subscribe to Super Bowl values. Paul reminds us and gives us a whole new definition of what it means to be strong. To be strong is to yield to our neighbor. To be strong is to limit ourselves for the good of one another. To be strong is not to insist upon our own way, but is to work in concert for the building up of the community of faith. Some people, even inside the church, don't always get that. Some people, even inside the church, subscribe to Super Bowl values. Some people inside the church are more interested in winning than they are in loving. Paul gives us a whole new definition of what it means to be victorious. And we are gathered here this morning in order to remember what that is. In a few moments, we'll be surrounding the Lord's table. And it's at that table where we remember what it means to be one, where it means to be a community, where it means to subscribe to the values of a loving God instead of the values of the football field. Paul reminds us that victory, the victory of God, is not about beating one another up. It's not about running points against one another. It's not about running up a big point spread. But he reminds us that victory comes through the self-giving act of the love of God. A love that will go all the way to the cross. We live in a world that thinks that means defeat. We live in a world that can't quite understand that. We live in a world that says, you're crazy to do that. The object of life is not about loving people, it's about winning. The object of life is to get all that you can get at the expense of your neighbor. That's the object of life. That's what it means to win. To win means to have the most gadgets when you die. That's what it means to win. The win means to puff yourself up at the expense of others. But we are a people who are reminded that the way that the Lord Jesus Christ won the victory was not through beating up others, but by dying for each and every one of us. And that's what real strength looks like. Not dominating others, but loving others. And the question for us on this Super Sunday will be, who will we follow? Whose values will we buy into? What do we really believe? Will we buy into the Super Bowl values, the values of winning, the values of domination, the values of trampling and running roughshod over others? Or will we buy into the values of the cross, the values of the table, the communion table, the values reflected in the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? On this Super Bowl Sunday, I hope that those of you who are so inclined will enjoy the Super Bowl. I hope you will enjoy seeing the Seahawks beat up on the Patriots. But in the midst of that, I hope you'll remember too that we are called to be a totally different kind of people. We are called to be a people of love. To the glory of God forever. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have reminded us that we are called by a different way. And though we live in a country where competition and violence and pride and winning often seems to be everything for many people, you have called us to bear witness to your truth, that it's not about winning, that it is about being faithful to the calling that you have placed upon each and every one of us. A calling not to walk in the ways of the world, but to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he shows us what it means to really be strong, as he shows us what it means to live victoriously. Empower us, Lord, through your Spirit to embrace the values of the cross, even as we live in a world that is pervaded by Super Bowl values. Help us to be faithful in all ways. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.